Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're just going to slice and dice. Yeah. I want to start off with Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, Rahm. Rahm?
Yeah.
Rahm's moving. Maybe.
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 You caught that, huh?
I did.
I did catch that.
So
that people that may not have known, Rahm Emanuel leased out his house on the north side of Chicago when he came to Washington, D.C. And now that he wants to go back and pretend to be mayor of Chicago, he wants to move back into his house, and his tenant went, yeah, no.
Yeah, right.
I got a lease, and you can go stick it up your butchkin.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of intrigued now whether he actually has a Democrat or a Republican that he's leased to. Northside Chicago, it'd be hard to tell.
Not sure there's a lot of difference in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. He's 42nd in Hermitage. That's not going to mean anything to anybody unless they live in the city. That's actually not far from Boys Town.
Oh, really?
That's a pretty liberal area in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take you far to get from there to Lincoln Park, which is a little bit farther south. That's not too close to that. Well, I would suggest he's in a pretty liberal area. I didn't live that far from where he lives at one point when I was living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But the city of Chicago is one of those places, like most major metropolitan areas, travel a couple blocks and the neighborhood is likely to change significantly. It is very much a city of neighborhoods. You can be in the middle of Little Italy and two blocks later be in the middle of, Little Taiwan.
Yeah.
It can be
pretty sudden demarcations there.
If you're not used to it.
Yeah.
I'm not quite certain. I have to think about it. Irving Park and Hermitage.
Well, one of the things that I really found interesting about this was apparently that lease, it was either leased or the lease was renewed in September. And that tells me that Mayor Daley never gave Rahm a heads up.
Well, I think there's the side to that is if he even had a suggestion that he would be leaving any time in the next year, then he wouldn't have renewed that lease, after the elections.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an unusual time for people to bail.
Sure.
It's after midterms, in the third year. So if he thought for any reason that he'd be leaving inside, after the elections, he wouldn't have done that. I can't imagine that he was willing to do that. And I don't know who's telling him that he has a shot in Chicago. But I can tell you from talking to my parents, right now the last thing virtually anybody wants in Chicago is anybody connected to the Daley machine in any shape, form, or otherwise.
Yeah. He'll buzz, and I don't know if you follow them. I do. But he'll buzz had a couple of screeds about that. Saying, the guy's not electable here.
He's not. He is absolutely not. People in the city of Chicago, for the most part, do not like Obama personally.
Mm-hmm.
and figured that he was just, one of the, serial corrupt people that, just part and parcel of the party.
Yep.
And Daly, there's no reason for Daly to leave other than the fact that, he probably felt the feds breathing down his neck with, Blago's corrupt, thing.
Yep.
Out there.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of Fed activity all over the place in Chicago, just dying to get somebody on something.
Yep.
The fact of the matter is that Daly's, the old man was given a pass on his corruption because things worked.
Exactly.
We're not willing to give Junior a pass on his corruption because things are not working.
Well, they did for 21 years.
No, my parents have suggested the city has been barely functional for the last 7 or 8.
No. I'm saying they gave a pass to Junior for 21 years.
Well, I'm suggesting that there was no one electable, unless
yeah.
the Democrats said this is who we want.
Right. Yeah.
For all of the animosity towards Obama or Daley or towards the Democrats in general, the grip in the city is almost absolute.
Wow.
You would have to have. First of all, you'd have to have someone homegrown, and you would have to have somebody that was just, I would like to say Palin-esque, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
you'd actually have to have someone homegrown that had her background, someone that came up in the city, no hint of corruption. You understand? The last three governors
mm-hmm.
of
yeah, right.
are in jail, so
exactly.
And they were all Republicans. So the Republicans are not, by any stretch of the imagination, squeaky clean.
Oh no!
Well,
they need an Elliot Ness type.
I don't know what would work in that city.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Me either. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, as bad as it is here in California. I can't imagine the kind of machine politics that goes on in Illinois.
It goes from the city block level and the precincts and the wards all the way up. The machine is not something that rules over the people from on high. The machine rules over the people from the precinct captain four doors down from you.
Yeah. Exactly.
It starts from the bottom up. But the other part of that is
go ahead.
I occasionally think about, what's going on in Detroit. And realistically speaking, Chicago's been run by Democrats as long as Detroit has.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
right? Chicago's
pretty
been
close.
Run by Democrats
yep.
as long as Detroit has. Yeah.
Yep.
And Detroit is more of a disaster, I think, because it relied on one particular industry. Chicago, for all of its big shoulders attitude, it's not a single industry town.
True.
And I think that's the only thing that's kept it alive longer than Detroit, for many of the same policies, were implemented. So,
mm-hmm.
I just, the Democrats are really, really good at running things into the ground, and we've seen that process happening with Obama in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
I got
yep.
into a conversation on a blog with somebody else over the last couple of days that I'm just, the first thing he said, taxes come out of disposable income.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was sitting there going, I'm sorry?
Excuse
me. And I said, taxes are first dollar. Levied. He goes, no, they come out of, disposable income. There's a whole lot of money that is exempt from all taxes. Everybody has a certain amount of money that's exempt from all taxes. I'm like, what planet are you on?
Yeah, really.
Because my first paycheck was $9, and 50 cents of that went to Social Security.
Yep.
So, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time. Yes, indeed.
I see paychecks from people right now that are $20 and $30 and $40 in my business, you know, and they're losing $3, $4, $5, you know, to taxes.
Jeez, isn't that, I mean, isn't that terrible? God.
You know, man. And even if you want to suggest that, you know, they're going to get some of that back a year from now.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
So that means they're still, you know, it's still gone. And even if it does come back, but, you know, still, Social Security doesn't come back. Medicare doesn't come back.
Nope.
Oh, well, you know, you'll collect that when you're 65. Yeah. If it's still there.
And if you live that long, and, yeah.
Right. So, you know, his idea. And then the other one that he said just, which just drove me crazy was that the actual cost of goods is dependent upon your disposable income. I want you to
really?
Think about that for a second.
Really?
The actual cost of goods you buy is dependent upon your disposable income.
So if I buy a tie and I'm rich, I make more than $250,000 a year, which may be going down to $100,000, but who knows? My tie costs the cost of that tie goes up.
Right.
Huh. Really?
And so, and his other issue was that if taxes are returned to the people, that it would increase the money supply, which we, of course, know increases the potential for inflation, which raises prices. So returning taxes to people would result in inflation and higher costs. Okay,
oh,
now, I don't want to debate the particulars of these three particular statements other than to say, it's indicative of the level of economic understanding, and frankly, it's not just on the left.
No,
I mean,
no.
People on the left think that this is actually stands as, you know, intelligent economic thought.
Mm-hmm.
People on the right, a large portion of them, are just simply, and I don't mean this in the
ignorant
way, but are ignorant of the process. Economic illiteracy in this country is rampant.
Well, not only illiterate, but innumerate also. I mean, you know, math ought to tell you something here.
But my problem is, of course, you know, the illiterates are running the asylum at this point.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, Geithner not being, you know, the least of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just this idea that, you know, the money belongs to government, and, you know, we can't give it back to the people, otherwise it will cause all kinds of havoc.
Well,
you know,
and
of course,
and it costs the government to do that.
Oh, yeah, you know, which is the premise of everything that Obama's been saying.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, the government can't afford the loss of this income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, what about the 125 million people that are working their ass off, you know, losing that income?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it is this particular attitude in economics that just drives me crazy. But I've got to say, Obama is doing one thing well.
Uh-oh. God, did he do something that
you named, think about all the different areas that the president would be part of. Can you think of anything that you know, that he is in charge of that, in fact, you think he might be doing well?
Hmm.
I'll give you a hint. It's the one thing you'd least expect.
Hmm. I'm sorry. I ain't coming up with it.
21 Predator drone strikes in 24 days.
Hmm. I am reminded of the old joke of the Russian general of ground troops gets together with the American general of ground troops, and they're having a drink after World War II, and they said, oh, by the way, did you ever hear whoever it was that won the air war? You can shoot down, you can shoot up, you can do anything you want from the air. It takes boots on the ground to hold it.
Yeah, but imagine if, you know, how often, you know, Hitler was pretty psychotic and...
Yes, he was.
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But imagine if, you know, every third day his secure, unknown bunker, you know, got blowed up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he turned around, you know, he lost another general because in a secure bunker where nobody knew where they were, they're, you know, they got blowed up.
You and I are both Air Force, so I am not disparaging air power. All I'm saying is, air power is great. Yep, you want to control the skies so your armor can move in and your ground troops can move in. But when it all comes right down to it, it's the armor and the ground troops that are going to get the job done.
You know what? The fact of the matter is, I'm glad he's actually continuing to shoot.
Oh yeah.
You know,
Yep.
He could as easily ignore that and, you know, pretend his 30,000 troops in Afghanistan are doing something, you know, useful by walking around with no ammunition in their guns.
Exactly. The other thing that I wonder about is this. I wonder at what level those strikes get approved. I mean, do they go all the way up to his office or are those in theater?
Well, I would suggest they don't. I would suggest that they go in theater, but I bet he has to give a general approval, you know, for strikes outside of Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he probably doesn't have to give individual approval, but he has to say, you know, unless I tell you otherwise, you're free, you know, weapons free in Pakistan if you've got a target.
Okay. Yep.
And frankly, that's, you know, what's
going
on. And of course, we're not hearing a whole lot about Somali pirates running around, you know, off of Africa right now.
It's amazing what a 30 caliber slug to your head does, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you know, the Navy patrolling in that area has reduced a certain amount of, you know, the free-spiritedness of the pirates.
Yes, it has.
I mean, you know, and of course, that, you know, position and, you know, presence are 90% of what's going to happen over that place.
Mm-hmm.
So, on those two areas, I consider, you know, him to actually be doing okay.
Okay.
But, that said, based on what's been going on in the last 10 days or so, the most dangerous, violent place in the entire planet, desperately in need of multiple Predator drone strikes, happens to be our southern border.
Yeah, really? Oh, man. God.
It's not even lawlessness going on down there. You know, it's flat-out war.
Yep.
People are being told to stay in their houses. Not for the day. Period.
Yeah. Forever. Yeah, exactly.
Steve.
I mean, those folks are real close to a failed state.
Oh, I would suggest to you that the state has failed in at least several of the areas, you know, on the north.
Well, they are not failed completely. They are in the process of failing. But they have not failed completely. And my suspicion is that if they wanted to get serious about it, they could, in fact, take back their country from the drug cartels and the lawlessness. I mean, I think their irony of irony, their building of a fence on their southern border is maybe a sign of that. First, you choke off the supply. Then you start hitting them where it hurts.
Well, I'd surely like to see it, because at this particular point, you know, we need to start, you know, putting up a Minot line, you know, from Texas to, you know, San Diego at this point.
Yeah. I mean, one of the news articles that I read was at a Mexican mayor, I guess it was stoned to death.
Him and his bodyguard.
Yeah. And, first off, that has some really bad ramifications because stoning is not a Mexican form of execution. I mean, that comes right out of the Middle East, folks.
Yep.
So, you know, when they're starting to do that, you have to start wondering, okay, who's running this stuff? Where are they getting their ideas? Did they all of a sudden run out of ammunition or something? I mean, what is this? I mean, usually you shoot them in the back of the head and that's the end of it. No, they had to stone them.
That's sending messages.
Yep.
That's not saying, you know, we don't like you. This is saying we don't like you and anybody else that has a brilliant idea, like their brilliant idea is likely to be, you know, painfully suffering that. I mean, you know, that's a torture situation. It's an entirely different area.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to break away from a little bit about what I was going to talk about, only to give everyone an update. We've now been on dialysis at home for a week. We're still trying to figure out a good schedule that works. Because it has to be done 4 times a day. So, get up in the morning, eat, do what's called an exchange, you know, spend a couple of hours, lunchtime do it, dinner time do it, you know, bedtime do it. But what runs into problems is dinner time.
Mm.
You know, so I would suggest to you it's a lot of work, but it's definitely easier than going off to a clinic every other day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Other than that, things are continuing to go on. CJ's happy in school.
Good. That's a plus. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other item I had on Obama today.
Hang on here. Let me interject my own little personal story here.
Okay.
I single-handedly have repaired the Case-Shiller index.
Repaired it?
I have repaired it.
Okay.
I have done that. And for those of you who do not know, Case-Shiller index has to do with real estate. And so I am now, or at least will be on Friday, the owner of the 8 acres to my immediate east.
Cool.
Which brings me up to a total of 55 acres, and I think I'm done. I only pray that my lady does not get into the acquisition mode when Farmer Brown's 40 acres to my west comes up. Because I don't think I can afford that.
Let's see. 55 acres. That makes you a landowner.
I am. Which puts me in seriously deep trouble.
So is it good? Is it good 8 acres or is it bottom land?
Actually, it's good. The front five is all flat tillable. The back three is rough, rocky, old tailings, that kind of stuff. But its southern boundary line is the middle of Hay Fork Creek.
Oh.
Yeah.
Access to the creek.
Absolutely. Which means that I don't have a water problem.
Nope, not up there.
So I thought I would just pass that along.
That's cool.
Yeah. You betcha.
You say, given your experience at this point, prices are down significantly,
yeah.
Or just down?
I'm thinking they're they're at least around here, and we are in a unique situation in that land prices are going up, and they're going up because we have an absolutely perfect climate for marijuana. And, of course, in California, we're going to decide on November the 2nd whether we're going to legalize that stuff or not. But in any event, all of the 215ers that have med certs can pool those and have somebody grow for them, and this is a prime place to do that. So there is a kind of a mini land boom going on out here.
Ah.
So I'm this is not we are probably a pocket of at least in terms of land, a pocket of prosperity in an otherwise desolate area.
Yeah.
I mean, and people are getting good money. I mean, whether they lease their ground out or whether they sell it, they're getting great money.
So did you have to pay a premium for it?
Oh,
well,
no.
Access to the thing, access to the creek would be worth the premium.
Yeah, I did not have to pay a premium. These folks have been there since, gosh, I don't know, sometime in the 70s. Elderly, she's 93 or 4, he's 89 or 90, and they simply can't be by themselves anymore, so their kids came out from Missouri, I think, and are moving them back there, and they offered it to us first, and we said, yep, we'll take it. So it never even hit a realtor.
Good neighbors.
Yep, great neighbors. I'm going to miss them.
Well, I won't suggest that prices around here are doing anything. We haven't really looked since we got out here, actually. So
mm-hmm.
I'm much interested in getting things more stabilized out here before worrying about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing some wandering around. I would suggest, you know, November 2nd, I got my, it's nice what California does. They present their nice little booklet that they send out of all the stuff that's going to be all the elections and initiatives and stuff like that.
Yep.
And catching up, you know, working on getting caught up with all the initiatives, because obviously I haven't been out here long enough to know all of them right off the top of my head. There's some interesting stuff in there. Some of it is, you know, the easiest way for me to look at it is something that sounds really good that's supported by the unions.
Uh-huh.
Probably something I'm not going to vote for.
Exactly.
No matter how good it sounds, if it's supported by the unions, it's not good.
Exactly.
So
there ought to be a truth in advertising as it relates to the title of bills. Because very often the title of the bill is exactly opposite of what the thing is going to do.
Yeah, if you don't read these things, it sounds good. You don't read it. You're just kind of a situation where you're just buying into the crap.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, despite the amount of crap that he got for it, Biden was actually correct about. A large portion of the American people are stupid.
Well, that's true. And I mean, look who we elected.
Oh, but I did that on purpose.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No. So, you have to take, well, I didn't vote for Obama, so,
Right.
I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't vote for McCain, so I did that on purpose.
Yep.
And did I believe that my lone vote was going to, eliminate the possibility of McCain, not being president? No, but at the same token, a lot of people felt like I did the same way. So, but I think I was pretty clear that, Having Obama in there for 4 years was probably going to be a good thing, not necessarily for the country, but for the long term it would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's being proven out pretty well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I guess in at least one respect he is a uniter, because he sure as hell has united conservatives and independents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done more good for conservatives than voter apathy on the right,
yep,
than anybody in, you know, 70
yep
years.
Oh, exactly, exactly. So I guess we owe him a vote of thanks for that. Thank you, Obama.
Thank you, Obama. Thank you, Obama. The other thing that I had saw, I don't know if you caught it with Obama, was he was talking about his religion this weekend.
Yes, I got that. I did see that.
And one of the things that I found was rather interesting was his comment that he uses his Christian faith to his public service is an expression of his Christian faith. And I thought, you know, if Sarah Palin had said that, the left would be up in arms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, the other thing that he said that I found absolutely puzzling, he
what?
Said, I am a Christian by choice. And when he said that, I thought to myself, what other kind of Christian is there?
Oh, by birth.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, well, you know, there is a particular mindset, you know, by a lot of people that people are born into religions and, you know, it takes an extremely intelligent and capable person to break away from the religion of their parents in childbirth, which is why people use that example to suggest why they're atheists or agnostics or,
mm-hmm,
you know, Unitarians.
Hmm.
So, no,
hey,
you know,
so
he suggested he's Christian by choice as opposed to being Muslim by birth.
And so those people, their children always did what they told them to, huh?
While they were children.
Yeah, right, sure. I can think of numerous times, as even as a young child, when I did not do what my parents told me to. Did I get in trouble?
I just find it rather interesting that
there's
actually a scripture that applies here. Raise them up in the way they should go, and they shall not depart from those ways.
Hmm. Yeah, Lenin paraphrased that, didn't he? Give me a child for 4 years and he shall never stray from socialism.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know, that particular situation, you know, if he spent his, what, first 11 years?
Yeah.
11 or 12 years in
mm-hmm
a Muslim environment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to come back to that eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he almost kind of said that in one of his books, where he said, you know, if things should turn adverse, I will stand with the Muslims. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, I think you could be a Muslim and be a president. I don't think you could lie about it, but I think you could be.
I have no problem with a Muslim president.
Right.
As long as he says, I'm a Muslim.
Yeah. And he's conservative. American conservative. American conservative, not Muslim conservative.
Well, as long as he's a classical liberal, I'm okay.
Well, there you go. Okay. That'll work, too.
You started to get into that this week with me, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
For those of you who don't know, Bill is a defender of the classical conservative movement.
Well, as most of us that are labeled conservatives are. actually classical liberal, but that's okay.
No, I think you're a closet classical liberal.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think you are.
Yeah.
I
think you're wrong, but that's okay. We can disagree.
I think you are. Because I think in the end, you would stand against the state.
Oh, absolutely.
And in the end, the classical conservative will stand with the state no matter what it's called.
When we start talking about classical liberals and classical conservatives, you start getting into the area of, okay, what are the English parties? And the English parties are kind of the opposite of what they're named. So you kind of get into that. I'm a whole lot more comfortable with just plain conservative and liberal. And I think that that at least adequately describes what we see in the United States today.
I'm not going to argue too much about it. Functionally, right now, for two particular parts, for the purpose of the Tea Party and for the purpose of November of 2010, it's irrelevant because the vast majority of conservatives have put aside the social things and are simply interested in just stopping, the left juggernaut. The Tea Party is not, in my opinion, a philosophical movement. It's a responsibility movement. Partyists have said, this is our government, this is our country, and we are going to, take it back. We are going to become responsible citizens again. We are going to be involved, not just when we vote, but, who gets put up and how they're handled once they're in place.
Yeah.
It's a people versus government point of view. I don't think it's philosophical. I think it's, much more responsible oriented. Yes, there is a significant philosophical premise underpinning the whole thing, but... I would think that's why you've got libertarians and independents and conservatives at this point, simply saying we have a responsibility to have a government that serves us, and there are certain principles that it has to abide by, and that's what we're going to, enforce back into place here. It's my own attempt to say why I haven't been more active in the Tea Party. My position hasn't changed as far as the Tea Parties are concerned. I certainly want to see how they behave next year. And we'll see. Speaking of the elections, it's going to be a rout. There's
in the
no
House,
doubt about
for
that.
Sure. Yep.
There's lots of little rumblings at this point that the House is going to have a 100-seat shift.
Yeah, I saw that. I might be a little ambitious, but oh well.
The thing that I want people to understand is the polls over the next 6 weeks are going to show a lot of races that were running away getting a lot more close.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm going to show a lot more Democratic incumbents actually, putting some, daylight between them and their Republican challengers. I'm not going to believe that for an instant, but I'm going to support that because I think what will happen is it'll continue to energize, the right to make sure they get out and vote. Because if you still get the idea that there's a 100-seat swing, you're going to have a lot of people saying, well, I don't need to worry about voting, then we're just going to, it's just going to be a rout.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A lot more races be, shown to be close or the Democrat pulling ahead, because I think the left will say that that's an indication that the right doesn't have the power to take over the left.
Yeah.
That's the left point of view. But I think the right's point of view has to be that between polling and media, this is an attempt to spin something that's going to be a rout.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I would caution everybody, though, that regardless of whether it's a rout or fairly close or whatever, is that American politics is such that it goes back and forth. Now, notwithstanding 40 years of Democratic rule in the House and the Senate, with an occasional presidency thrown in, the fact of the matter is we do, in fact, go back and forth. Whatever our perceptions are of somebody's getting too big for their britches or these people aren't fighting for us or whatever the reason, it goes back and forth. So, you know, November the 2nd, no, actually November the 3rd, when people wake up and say, oh, my God, just remember that that's fleeting. And my hope, I don't know if it's going to come true, but my hope is that the Tea Party is going to stay alive and well, and it is going to hold the Republicans to account also.
I'm certainly going to be doing that.
I'm going to be doing that. I'm no more of this. Let's go along to get along. A third of a loaf is better than no loaf at all. No more of this. Well, we have to reach across the aisle. No more of this. Well, if we give them this, then we don't have to do this over here. This is, we are going to look at our founding principles, and then we are going to judge the actions of whomever is in office, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, Conservative, whomever, and say, do your actions comport with first principles? If they do, fine. If they do not, then we've got to be out there standing up and down, jumping up and down, and screaming. And I hope we do that. I don't know that we're going to, but I hope we do.
Yeah, there's no indication that the GOP establishment has learned any lessons.
Nope, sure haven't.
That they intend to do anything other than what they have been doing for the last 20 years, which is to be Democrat lights.
Yep.
I am hoping that we do have, as many as 100 votes swinging in there, because I have decided that I'm going to scream bloody murder if anybody even suggests that Boehner is going to be Speaker.
Yeah, really? God.
Michelle
Bachmann now. Okay. I can get on board with that.
And the only other person that's even been remotely suggested that in my earshot has been Pence, but that he's such a long shot as far as that's concerned. But, I'm not certain about him either.
Yeah.
I think he and Paul Ryan have a certain amount of similarities. They're really, in a lot of things that they say, they are, let me see if I can put this together. They are principled, pragmatist politicians. Both of them will hold to principles and then tell you that they weren't elected just to represent conservatives in their district, but to represent everybody in their district, and that includes people that are not conservatives that share those principles, and they have to be more pragmatic as far as their actual voting because they represent their entire district. Now, that sounds really good, and it sounds really like what you would want to hear out of a politician. Except for, after, 15 or 20 years of thinking about that, you start sounding like John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I am reminded of a quotation, and it was either Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln, that said, in matters of principle, stand like a rock. In matters of fashion, go with the stream. So if we talk about principles, then yes, we expect our representatives and our senators to stand like a rock. If we're talking about, gosh, should we put pink or yellow bows on this post office naming, who cares? What folks want, give it to them.
Sounds like Tracyism.
Yeah, no, it was either Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln, and I unfortunately don't remember which one.
More like something, that Lincoln would say in general, but you'd probably say, well, only because Jefferson said it first did Lincoln say it.
Yeah,
have
well,
some variation.
Could be.
Spent part of the weekend going over some 400 quotes of Jefferson. And about 300 quotes from the Quran. Don't ask.
Fine. I won't ask.
I was just going in a couple of different directions over the weekend. I don't know who I want in the House as Speaker. As long as it's not Boehner,
Yeah.
I don't know who else to put in there.
Well, unfortunately, they get to choose their own. So I suspect that it's one of two things is going to happen. It's either as the Hillbuzz people put it, it's the soggy mayonnaise, white bread, cucumber sandwich crowd. Or it will be the, oh, gosh, it's my turn crowd. And neither one of them is really acceptable.
Right. I said it in our conference call. I've said it to you. I've said it to, the chairman of the American Conservative Party, I have full faith that next year, the GOP will do more good for the conservative movement than even Obama has done for the last year.
Yeah, they may.
Tea Party's just going to explode if that happens. I hope.
The Tea Party has in fact taken over some states' Republican committees. And I suspect that if it's another go along to get along, if it's another soggy cucumber mayonnaise white bread sandwich crowd, if it's another oh it's my turn crowd, that the Tea Party will make further inroads into at least the GOP committees. But and in reality, whether you talk about the GOP committees or whether you talk about the school boards or you talk about the local elected councils, whether that's city or county, we need to be doing that anyway.
A hundred new freshmen.
Oh man.
Talk
about
mean that half, you know. The GOP would be facing, almost, it wouldn't be a majority of freshmen, but it would be a pretty significant block.
Mm-hmm.
40% of the GOP is freshmen. That's a stunning amount.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a stunning amount.
Yes, it would.
300 Republicans in the House.
I don't know that it's going to get to that, but if you postulate the one, then you say, 300 Republicans in the House. If you have 100 of them, whether they're freshmen or not, that are conservative, that is a really powerful block.
And such a slap at Obama.
Oh, yeah. I don't know which delights me more, the slap at Obama and his policies, or the slap at the GOP for being such wusses all these years.
It won't be a slap at a GOP for 100. If we had 100 new freshmen, it wouldn't be a slap at GOP. Okay.
No.
Unless you had people like Christine O'Donnell, you know, and her quote unquote ilk.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, you know, a large number of Tea Party people that ran against the GOP establishment,
mm-hmm.
you know, just, I mean, could you imagine O'Donnell running 54 or 55%?
Oh, man.
That would be a slap on the GOP pretty bad.
Yep.
You know, similar things. If, you know, Sharon Engel, you know, picks up 54, 55%, you know, in Nevada, I mean, it just, you know, would be there. And, of course, if, you know, Carly and Meg win in California.
Or in Rubio in Florida.
Rubio's going to win in Florida. That's,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
It's just, you know. That, I think, would be, you know, a big slap. If the Tea Parties that ran against the establishment GOP win big, that'll be the slap against the GOP that I'll be happy to see.
Yep.
So,
yep.
We've only got, let's see, we got about 10 minutes left.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The only thing that I had beyond the concept of corruption in the Obama administration. We continue to get the DOJ issue on the Black Panther.
Oh, boy. By the way, did you catch or did you read any of that testimony?
I've caught parts of it because other people have written about it.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I got out of it was that not very much of his testimony was about the specific Black Panther case, but a whole lot of it was the Obama administration flat out desire to not enforce voting rights unless they were supporting the black.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that it was systemic, that it was broad-based, that it was explicit.
Yep. All of those things.
So...
Which is an absolutely damning indictment of the DOJ.
You know, I just find it funny that many of the excuses, many of the things that Bush was accused of, in fact, wasn't doing, but that you know, Obama's actually doing.
Exactly.
You know, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I know. Talk about projection.
The only thing that I had, and the only thing I had was, and it's two parts, believe it or not.
Cool.
One has to do with the United Nations, and one has to do with our own government. Has to do with space.
Oh, the UN ambassador to the aliens.
Yes. Apparently, for you that don't know, the UN has decided that if in fact, aliens say, take us to your leader. They have decided that a upper mid-level bureaucrat is that person.
Jesus.
And all I can think about is the Superman movie where the three bad, you know, kryptonite people show up in the White House. And, you know, the fake president bows before them and they just kill him because there's no way that, you know, the real president would do that. What we've got here is the UN has decided we're not actually going to, you know, we don't actually want any real leader to be face-to-face with aliens, so we're just going to, you know, give this nameless bureaucrat the responsibility.
There you go. You betcha.
I love that mentality.
Yeah. You know, and it really is pretty typical. You get a bureaucrat appointed, or they go to work for them and work their way up or whatever, and anyway they get to mid-level management, and all of a sudden they're tapped to be the UN ambassador to aliens, and one, they don't have a clue about what they ought to be doing. Two, they don't have a clue about, gee, what would they say or do with an alien. And three, how presumptuous of any one group to think that they can appoint some kind of a spokesperson.
For the planet.
Yeah, really. I mean, I'm sure that the, whatever the Sudanese nationals are called, have exactly the same concerns about aliens as somebody in, I don't know,
Peoria.
Yeah, there you go.
For California. Always right. California. You know.
California is actually New France now.
What?
We have a governor and everything. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm the tax czar, by the way.
The reason I brought this up, because I think it's just a joke.
Right.
That, you know, is just another telling example of, you know, the Iranians on the Human Rights Council. Is Obama's continuing efforts to gut NASA.
Oh, boy.
Now,
I caught a whole lot of people screaming bloody murder about it. Cabuto today.
And I'm not. I'm at all for the United States government and NASA getting out of the space program. Because if NASA gets out of it, maybe that will open it up to more commercial development. And Mr. Bhutan is all ready for that. I'm kind of in this position where if we can get NASA out of the prospects, they will have to rely on commercial development of space going equipment, because, you know, we do have a space station and we do have satellites, and those things have to be maintained. And if we have a bigger and better commercial side where people are putting money into it, you know, and NASA is not undercutting them left, right, and center, I think it's a good thing.
Okay. I mean, I understand the reasoning in back of that. I'm not sure a commercial venture is going to be able to compete with Russia, China, in terms of developing heavy lift, et cetera, is one. Two, my understanding as to how this is going to work is that we are contractually liable to France, Canada, and at least one other country to get them back and forth from the ISS, the International Space Station. And if we cannot do that, then we have to purchase passage not only for ourselves, but for them also. So that kind of gives me a little pause.
I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for commercial development of space capacity for a long time.
Well, I guess we'll see. I saw a Grudge headline that says, whoops, I guess we're going now. Thanks for listening. Mama Gurkha and Just Me Pammy and Arkansas Traveler, Louisa Ma, if you were on. Thanks for listening in.
Yeah, well, we have about 30 seconds. I was trying to get that to come up. You know, and
yep.
It's not coming up very quietly.
I see.
I put something up there that's easier to do that with.
Yep.
All right, William, you have
cool.
a good week.
You
too. This week I get registered to vote.
All right.
You know, if all things go according to plan, we'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Good night, everybody.
All right, green room.
Green room.
Short time.
Yeah, yeah. You betcha.
We have dialysis to do.
Yes. Yeah, you do.
You
do. And that's what, every 4 hours?
Every 4 hours.
Well.
So,
but part of that can be done while you're sleeping, right?
No, not this particular method.
Ah, okay.
That method is down the line if Victoria wants to do it.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Well, how's Victoria doing? I mean, is she tolerating it? Is it working?
I think the answer is she's doing it well.
Okay. Good.
So.
Good. All righty, kiddo.
See you next week.
You betcha.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye.